Hey, 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 and welcome to episode 98 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from the K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. And don't forget to leave us a review and five stars on wherever you're listening to us on. So yes, so let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so it's time for our very first segment, per usual, Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice, where we're going to give you a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
Red Velvet Soggy will be making her solo debut.
Ooh.
My Daily reported on the 6th of September that Soggy will be releasing her solo album. Yes, I said album. SM Entertainment says she's in the preparation stages and aiming for an October release. So be on the lookout for that. Updates on Le Sserafim's October comeback. So last week I said that it was reported that the girls will be coming back next month. However, Source Music have said nothing is set in stone, but they are preparing for a comeback and no date has been set, but they will give out fine details soon. So be on the lookout for that. More comeback news. EXID fans will rise because in celebration of their 10th anniversary, they will be releasing a single album titled X on the 29th of September. This will be EXID's first comeback as a full group in 3 years. So all five members will be there. Exciting!
I feel like I manifested this, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna lie. About like 8 months ago, I listened to We At It. And I was like, I really miss these girls. And look what's happening. You're welcome.
Wow, manifestation queen. See, kids, dreams do come true.
Yes.
Subunit debut from Twice, maybe. Many have been wondering since the solo debut of Neon if other members will also have solo projects. Well, according to fans and their snooping ways, we might be getting a Japanese unit that once have been asking for. So Mina, Sana and Momo, also known as Misamo, may have something in the works as it was discovered that JYP had filed a copyright for the term Misamo. So there might be a cute little Japanese unit coming soon. And I just wanted to say this was a missed opportunity to call them Mimosa, just saying. But we move. And last but not least, former G-Idle member Sujin decides not to continue with her current lawsuit. So last year, posts were shared online alleging Sujin bullied students in school, middle school. Both Cube and Sujin denied the rumours. However, actress So Shine eventually came forward and said Sujin had bullied her when they were classmates together. In August 2021, Cube Entertainment announced that Sujin would be leaving G-Idol and her contract with Cube officially terminated in March this year. Sujin then built a lawsuit against the initial school bully accuser. Okay, so Sujin's legal rep stated that she will not be going forward with legal action due to the circumstances that there is a limited to finding the truth through legal procedures as there is no evidence to confirm concrete facts other than statements of the opposing parties. So in baby terms, no one can physically prove who is right and who is wrong. It's a lot of he said this, she said that, but nothing else can really be proven other than that. Sujin's rep emphasizes that she was acquitted by the school violence committee that was investigating the case at the time. Her rep continued, Sujin strongly understands how emotionally hurt the former classmate must be, regardless of whether the allegations are true or not. And she sincerely apologizes to everyone who has been hurt from the brash words she used back in middle school, including her supportive fans, as well as all the others who have been disappointed. So what I take from this is, and this is my own interpretation, so I'm not saying this is fact. I personally think Sujin had a disagreement, had a little fight with someone in middle school, and at the time it was rectified. No one was right at the time and no one was wrong. It was just, you know, you're at school, you have arguments with people. It happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just verbal or physical, whatever. But then I feel like the initial accuser kind of spun it on its head. And, you know, this was a time when everyone was getting accusations left and right and was like, oh, I was being bullied. And instead of Cube taking the time to maybe get to the bottom of it, they kind of didn't like all the backlash or whatever and let her go. That's what I get from it. Because if you can't prove either party is right, and then at the time, there's no like bad strike on Soojin's name, because you know they have the school violence committee thing. So there's no bad strike on her name. There's no bad strike on the initial bullies, initial accuser's name. So to me, that just sounds like there was an argument. It escalated more than it should have. And that was it. Like, they probably, you know, they got in trouble or whatever the case may be, but it was nothing extreme.
Yeah.
So if I'm right, if my theory is right, I feel so sorry for Soojin, because imagine having something held over you for something that you did when you was in middle school, like 14, 15, 13. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. But we see it happen to a lot of people, unfortunately. So,
hopefully, her mental is good, that she has people around her that are there for her. And if she does want to pursue performing, I don't know if she would. I don't know if anyone after any accusation and they get kicked out of their group or whatever the case may be, would want to come back into the limelight, because I guess it doesn't matter how long of a break you take. Once you've disappeared and come back, that's the last thing people remember you for.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But whatever she decides, I wish her the best. And, yeah. Because in a way, like, if I had an argument with someone in middle school or whatever, and that kind of damaged my career in a way, they've won. Do you know what I mean? Like
you've already been tainted, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's if my theory is correct. Again, this is just my theory. I'm not saying this is what's happened, this is what's fact, but that's what I've extracted from what I've read. So just want to make that very clear. But anyways, that is Hot Topics. Hot topics. If there's any stories you want us to comment on, or if you want to comment on a story, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You, or you can use the website as well. Moving on to our next segment called Say What, where you send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, questions, hot tea, etc. You can send that to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com. Or you can submit a form on kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay, so our very first unpopular opinion for today is BTS are the most famous K-pop act, bigger than Psy and Big Bang. Everyone knows that, but still some choose to deny it. I also feel like they've had the biggest impact in the K-pop space.
Yeah, I think BTS are probably the most famous K-pop act in terms of, if you say BTS to people that are not familiar with the genre, they may not know exactly who you're talking about, but they've probably heard the name or whatever. I don't think anyone would deny that. And I do agree they've had a big impact on the K-pop scene, space, whatever, but I don't think it discredits anything that any other act or group has done, because those other groups and acts before BTS they created that impact for BTS to be BTS, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and this might be me nitpicking, and this is in no way negating BTS's impact, because we are all well aware of like the impact that they've had and how much they've done for K-pop as a whole. But I think it depends on how you look at impact. Impact in terms of just popularity, or impact in terms of revolutionizing things within the K-pop space. Because I would think about, fans have had the biggest impact in the K-pop space, like introducing things like fan cams and like big cool things like that, or even you may be able to help me quote the right person, but like acts that first introduced like light sticks and things that really impacted the overall K-pop culture, I think would also be...
Well, fans didn't really introduce light sticks. That was a big thing.
Yeah, that was an idol, but fans sort of helped fan camps to become like a big thing, obviously. But yeah, Big Bang and like light sticks and stuff. So I think everyone has contributed to what K-pop is and had big impacts in the space. Obviously, in terms of popularity and taking it over to the West a bit more, we have to give credit where credit's due. Like BTS have played a big part in that. But yeah,
do we agree with this one? Do we? How do we feel?
I don't know because, as you said, it depends how this person describes what the biggest impact is. If you just think the biggest impact is opening more eyes to K-pop, then sure, if that's what you think. But I don't really think. I feel like, and okay, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I honestly feel, and this might sound terrible, I honestly feel that wasn't really down to BTS in terms of opening more eyes. I feel like I'm not discrediting their work ethic and their bodies of work, but I just feel like the stars were really aligned for BTS at the time, and they were just the group that had that snowball effect, if that makes sense. I feel like if any other group was in a similar trajectory, they could have had the same impact in opening more eyes. I feel like, for example, even if you take Psy, because even Psy kind of, you know, he cracked the door open a bit, right? Well, actually, he opened the door, let's be real, because even before Psy, you had Wonder Girls, you had Big Bang, you had Girls' Generation. They were doing small. It may not be to the scale of BTS, but they were doing small bits. But I'm saying, just say, whatever the case may be, Psy released Gangnam Style during the pandemic time. Like, it was released around that time, or the time where BTS was starting to blow up. Then I could still see Psy in the same place as BTS. Do you get what I mean?
And that's saying, like, in the circumstances, sort of, it could have happened, worked for anyone?
Yeah, that's what I personally think. I'm not trying to discredit BTS and the work that they've done. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but I don't think, in a sense of, there isn't like a particular thing where I'm just like, yeah, only BTS could have done that.
I think I get what you're saying, and that's in acknowledging this, it doesn't obviously negate how hard they worked or like their talent or anything like that, but it was sort of a thing, like, they were in the right space at the right time. They fulfilled a gap in the market. Like, It was just perfect timing and everything aligned, because who's the other group that you sometimes reference and they were on BAP. A sort of similar trajectory to BTS? Yeah. BAP. So yeah, I can acknowledge
because
that
other
too.
Than that, in terms, and again, I don't want anyone to take this out of context, me discrediting BTS and their impact. But other than opening the, like, broadening, you know, focusing more eyes onto K-pop, right? What have they done in terms of the K-pop space that's been of a big impact? So, for example, if we use the Big Bang example, they had a big impact in terms of, and this is just one thing, in terms of light sticks, yeah? 21 had a big impact because, just look at all the girl groups in the K-pop space now, everyone and their mum was doing Girl Crush. And that wasn't really popular back then. So that's created a big impact. Do you get what I mean? Big Bang, and even like the whole YG label. Yeah, everyone was rapping and stuff, but like YG were known as the hip-hop label at one point, which then kind of snowball effect in how other groups will implement rap in their groups. So they've had a big impact. Do you get what I mean? So what thing have BTS done that's kind of had that same or similar impact, where it's just like, okay, you can look at a group and you can't say, you can pinpoint a certain thing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Girls' Generation were the first to have photo cards, if I may be wrong, but okay. I think, see what I mean? Now everyone does photo cards. So you might, it's like a normal thing now where, you know, you get a photo card in an album, you're not going to think, thanks Girls' Generation, but if you actually did your research and was like, oh, this is why.
So, well, I guess we can like throw this question out to any armies, because once again, like we I think me and Shanice like had kind of similar journeys with BTS, where we sort of followed them a little bit more closely through their debut phase and like a few years into it. But I wouldn't be able to call myself an army just because I don't think I fit the job description. So if there are any armies that are listening that like you're able to pinpoint, like, okay, like in my opinion, BTS really caused X ripple, or they made this thing a thing within K-pop, because the only thing that I can think of, at least like just in this present moment, and it isn't saying that other groups and artists didn't have it, but was the relationship that they built and with their fans and the rapport that they had over social media.
You know what, you're right. Yeah,
I would say BTS are one of the first groups to sort of do that. Other groups,
social media.
Like other groups had amazing interaction and rapport with their fans, but obviously like the internet still wasn't interneting, so it would feel a bit more stagnant. But BTS were sort of, in my opinion, one of the first ones to have that rapport, that back and forth, especially through Twitter. So I would say that's one big sort of wave,
I completely and forgot about that.
And then we would see other groups like starting to do that, like talking to their fans a bit more on socials and having that interaction. So that's what's come to mind for me. But if anyone wants to point out anything else, I think that would be quite insightful, because I'm sure there may be other things that they've done as well.
No, you're right. I completely forgot about that. They really did implement social media a lot from pre-debut. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because I know there were other groups doing stuff, but I feel like they were
not to the extent of BTS, I don't
think.
BTS like, had they more were of a on personal touch. Like, you knew when Namjoon was tweeting, you knew when Jin was tweeting, or do you know what I mean? It wasn't like a group account, and you could tell it's just like a social media manager, like, okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Or it's just used to be like, okay, they're coming back on the 29th, like,
exactly. It wasn't just used for promotion or like these super curated images. Like, they might be out and about and they're uploading a picture of what they're doing, or like, it just sort of got rid of that blurry middle ground and it just felt like artist to fan. So I know that's one thing that they definitely played a part in popularizing, and they've done a great job. Like, look at ARMY now. Like, no one can like overcome like ARMY's connection to them. So yeah, but if there's anything else or any other groups that any of you guys want to bring up or mention, I would love to learn. I actually find this quite an interesting topic, sort of pinpointing what groups sort of made different things big in the K-pop space or even in the Hallyu space as a whole. So yeah. And then on to our next unpopular opinion. This person said, Mamamoo aren't underrated. I feel like they receive more than enough hype. Also, why do fans care so much about their faves' romantic preferences? Like, why do you care if RM likes black girls or if X person likes Spanish girls? It's not like you have a chance with them, so their preferences, which they don't need to share with you, don't affect you. Being an idol is their job, so just enjoy the fantasy and move on. Well.
Okay, so Mamamoo aren't underrated. I feel like they receive more than enough hype. Agree or disagree? I don't think they're underrated.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're underrated, and I maybe don't follow them closely enough to know whether like they receive the quote unquote appropriate amount of hype. Like, most people know who they are if you mention them. Like, so I might have to agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think they're underrated. Do people say Mamamoo are underrated?
Because I
don't really see that either. So I don't know. I just don't think they're underrated. I feel like they're quite popular in Korea and definitely popular outside of Korea. And I don't know to what extent it might be a bit more outside of Korea where they have more love. I don't know. I'm just basing it on what I feel. There's no facts behind that.
Yeah, so I guess That's that one. And then the second part of this person's unpopular opinion, they basically said, why do fans care so much about their fave's romantic preferences? For example, some people wonder if RM likes black girls or if X person likes Spanish girls. It's not like you have a chance with them, so their preference shouldn't affect you. They don't owe you an explanation for their preferences. And being an idol is just their job, so just give in to the fantasy and move on.
Thoughts I think that's feelings. I agree, but that also feeds into the fantasy. There's some groups, I'm not saying BTS, but there's some groups that really play up the whole parasocial relationship in a sense of when they're in an interview or whatever, and there's a question of, oh, are you dating? Who's your girlfriend? And then a member might joke like, oh, I'm taken by my fans. Do you know what I mean? So if so-and-so said that and you're a black girl and then, you know, his preferences are not black girls, then of course you may feel away with it because now you can't fulfill that fantasy. And yes, is that very Delulu? Of course, it's very Delulu. Like, should you base your self-esteem on this? No. Does this mean were you ever going to get a chance to date them, even if you were this person's type? Probably not. But I feel like, and again, we speak about this a lot, like every other week or every week in some sort of context where companies, they love to play up on that. They love to ham up on, you know, you having a chance with so-and-so. So I get it.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Like, it's a two-sided thing, like where the promotion and the advertisement and the whole point of the fantasy is like, they're yours and they love you. Mm-hmm. And then when some people go down the rabbit hole too far and they're then like, oh, am I their type? Or like, do they like these kinds of person and people? And then people kind of look at them weird as like, oh, like, why would you say that? It's not your business. But then you're sort of made to feel like it is your business and you have a right. So I agree
with it, but then I also understand why
a fan could be led to that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that fan is right, because I said they're in their Delulu phase. Maybe they're young. Let's just hope they're young. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And this is probably a conversation that has multiple layers to it. So if there are any experts out there that want to like give their two cents on the topic, because we're not experts, but we can only give an opinion to so far and to some extent. But I think it can also be a thing of, and it wouldn't just be girls and women, it can be guys too. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you come from a demographic that isn't always like felt to be like the first choice or the one picked, sometimes feeling like you're desired by something that might not even be real or tangible can help to compensate for the way you're made to feel in other settings. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, I hear you.
But I can get why some people would go down this road. Do I think it's right or okay? No, but I can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, thank you for this unpopular opinion. I think the closing line is like, being an idol's their job, so just enjoy the fantasy and move on. I guess some could argue that questioning their preferences in this unusual relationship dynamic is part of the fantasy, so it's just loop. Yeah,
right. It's hard to separate one from the other, if that makes sense.
Okay. And then on to our last unpopular opinion for today. This person said, Won Young's stage presence isn't that great, and I can't believe how underweight they're letting her get. It's so unhealthy.
I've never watched this girl perform, so I cannot really comment on stage presence. I feel like I need to have a proper deep dive, way the pun, on IVE, because like, I know who they are, but apart from Won Young, if any of them walk past me on the street today, I'd be like, oh, they're pretty, but I wouldn't know. Sorry to those girls. But yeah, so can't really comment on this one. Yeah.
Well, I'm similar to you. Like, I haven't deep dived into IVE a lot. I would recognize like her and I think a few other members. But just on the topic of her stage presence, I think I haven't watched a ton of their performances, but she does catch your eye, whether that's because she's pretty or she knows what she's doing or she has amazing stage presence. I don't know, but she does catch your attention and you are sort of like all mesmerized and not in a trance, like it's not that deep, but like she does what she does. So I would say that she has okay stage presence. I can't at the moment like recall her dancing a ton or even her voice. So maybe we go away and revisit this one.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely catches your attention and has like this aura to her. Now on the topic of her weight. One, we are not doctors. We're not here to skinny shame or fat shame anyone. But I have heard quite a few fans be quite concerned because she is sort of on the taller side, at least for female idols. So she's 5'8". And apparently she only weighs about 47 kilograms.
I don't know what that means, but I'm going...
Yeah, I think like 103 pounds, if you're familiar with pounds.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about weight. I don't even know how much I weigh, so I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what a healthy, unhealthy weight is. I'm not a doctor, so...
Yeah, so we're not professionals to comment on that, but I have seen clips or TikToks that show like how much weight she's lost, and that could be genetic, it could be because of dieting. I don't think it's healthy for anyone to be like underweight, but I think that's a thing for her company and doctors to deal with. Like, as long as she's healthy, happy and all right, I think that's all that's important. But if she isn't happy, healthy and all right, I think it's then an issue. Or if things like this are promoted as a norm to fans and people start thinking that like certain weights are normal or X, Y, and Z, I think then it can become harmful and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But once again, we're not doctors and we don't have all the answers, but that's my two cents. Okay. And then last week, one of our listeners actually submitted a question for us and you guys to answer. So the question was, if your bias wasn't quote unquote attractive, would they still be your bias? And some of you answered. So one person said, I feel like I would, because I didn't have a bias until I got to know the members and know them for who they are more than what they look like. So that's a
liar. I'm joking.
I object. Another person said, I mean, my biases all happen mainly because of their talent and my admiration for their stories and trainee journeys, hence why they ult people like Moon Swa. I don't know how to say that name. I may have butchered it. But okay, this person's saying that they're not necessarily attracted to their biases, but they more so admire their talent and journeys and stories. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, I feel like as well, sometimes there might be someone that caught your eye in the group. And then once you, as the first person said, once you do get to know them and like what the second person said and their stories or whatever, then you're like, actually, I like Tim. Tim's my bias. So yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess like some people define bias in different ways. Some people, when they pick a bias, it's someone that they're attracted to, and other people, when they pick their bias, it might just be their favorite member. Like, it could be someone that's younger than them and they remind them of their younger siblings, so that person becomes their bias, like their favorite one that they support the most or whatever. So I guess that could play into it as well. Yeah. But thank you for all of those unpopular opinions and your thoughts and feelings. If you have any requests, questions, dilemmas, stories, games that you want us to break down on the pod in one of our upcoming episodes, you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/HallyUatYou, or you can send them to us on socials. And now it's time for On the Radar. So me and Shanice will let you know if there's anything on our radars, anything we're listening to, watching, or anything we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
That damn Zico song that all the street men dance or fight dance. What's that show called, man? Street dancer. Street
man dancer. I know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking
about? I want to say street fighter, but I don't know if that's not what it is. You know, they had, I think, like, the leaders of each dance crew. I don't know because I don't watch that program. But I keep seeing clips of the dumb performance video, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have not seen that, so I might check that. Apparently, it's called Street Man Fighter.
Close enough.
Yeah, we've done a good job. what's on my radar? I have no idea what I've been watching. I'm still watching this mind-boggling reality show, Change Days, and it just makes my brain hurt because I don't know what's going on. So for anyone that's not familiar, the premise of the show is there are these couples, they all come into the show and they have to date each other's partners or whatever, because the original partners are maybe on the verge of breaking up. They need sort of like an ultimatum to see whether they'll leave the show single or continue dating their original partner.
I have a question mm-hmm. about that. So with the show, because you know I don't watch these things, mm-hmm. Is it like the producers that pair these people up with the different couples, or is it like you just choose on vibes?
So a bit of both, I'm assuming. So initially, so all the contestants come to the show, I believe, don't...
And they all live, do they all live in a house or something?
Yes, so they all live in
That's
one
weird.
House.
Sorry.
Very. It's a very strange premise. So all the couples turn up together. So I think the show starts with all of them like in cars, and the guys basically had to drop their girlfriends off at like a certain location, different locations. So none of the girls are together, but different locations mm-hmm. to go on the first initial date with other guys.
Okay.
So that one I think was done based on like, they must have done like some compatibility situation in the back or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But as the show goes on, they get these text messages. So they'll say like, oh, like, today's challenge is like secretly ox out the person that you're most curious about or that you want to go on a date with.
See, now this sounds messy. Go on.
Yes, it's very messy. So then like you can go ox them out or whatever. Or there are some challenges where you will have to vote for the person that you want to go on a date with. And if both of you picked each other, obviously you haven't discussed it, but if you both pick each other, then you get to go on a date together. But the gag of it all is sometimes when they do this, you might just think that, oh, you'd get a text saying that, oh, you matched, so you're going to go on a date. No, that everyone and their original partners are gathered in a room, like a sitting room, and like this announcement goes through the house saying, these are the people that have matched, or like this person picked this person. So it's just very messy.
Mm.
And in my professional opinion, I don't think any of the people should be together. It's just quite a strange premise, because I understand reality TV needs to be entertaining, but if these people have been in somewhat long-term relationships, like some have been together for like 2 years or 5 years or whatever, to either improve your relationship or see if you should just be single, I don't think you would need to involve other people. I think there should have just been challenges that test your relationship in terms of how'd you get on, or if you're faced with this issue, how would you deal with it together? But
because the way that I would have done it, or what I was thinking of, kind of like a scenario, if you guys remember the show Wife Swap. So
yes, yeah.
Basically, okay, just say like me and you were in a relationship, and just say what's lacking is I'm not very romantic, and mm-hmm. what you're lacking is you don't help around the house, right? So then we will swap partners. So I will obviously get someone that's really romantic and helps around the house, and you will get, do you know what I mean, like someone that's not mm-hmm. that romantic and doesn't do much. So then you can see, you know, essentially what you're missing, what you could bring to your relationship from mm-hmm. experiencing that other person, do you know what I mean? But if it's just
It literally makes no sense, because the premise of the show isn't you're in relationships that are lacking in some way, come into date and you can choose to leave with your original partner or a new partner. That's not the premise. It's either leave with your original partner or leave single. So involving other people doesn't actually make sense in any capacity, because you're meant to be just figuring out your problems.
Mm.
So it's just quite weird. So there's like kind of this messiness with old people that, from different relationships that seem like they have a connection, so their partners don't really like if they go on dates together. And initially, how many couples are there? Let's say there's like four couples. each of the couples had a room together, so they would basically sleep in the same bedroom.
Mm.
Then I don't know if it was midway through the show, but maybe over the last two episodes, they changed it so that there's two girls to a room and two guys to a room. So you're no longer sleeping in the same room as your partner.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just weird. And like, I don't feel like any of the people should be dating. I get you can't tell all the ins and outs of someone's relationships from a reality TV show.
Mm.
But in my opinion, the guys are whingy and petty. Like, there is this guy, I think he was talking to his girlfriend, and then the show sent the girlfriend a text. So she just, like, went to go check her phone, assuming it's, like, obviously a text from the show. And then he's like, oh, if you're more interested in your phone, do that. I'm going to leave.
Wow.
And then, like, there was another time, I'm pretty sure it was the same guy. He was, like, yelling at his girlfriend in front of everyone. She was like, oh, like, can we just go talk? He was like, don't talk to me. Go talk to someone else. Have a good time. Go have a good life. Like, what? None of these people should be together. That's my final verdict. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yes.
So, yeah. That's that, I guess. Thanks for listening to How You At You.
And remember that you can send us any of your unpopular opinions, stories, or dilemmas on socials, or you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou.
Yes, I've been Shanice from Kpopbox. You can follow me at kpopbox_ on most things.
And I've been Shay from The K-Way. You can follow me at The K-Way on most platforms. I should be there, hopefully. Yes.
And until next time, we will
holla at you.
Bye.